Katie, can you tell me what your research was about, just in a basic summary, a couple sentences, and we'll dig into different parts of it later. But what was the title and what was your research about?
So the title of my research was Chicken Splash, Exploring the Health Concerns of Washing Raw Chicken. And so what we're doing currently, the FDA recommends against washing chicken. And the concern is that you're splashing microbes around your sink and potentially contaminating food. And so what we're doing is splashing water off of the surface of chicken to confirm that microbial transfer, and provide some data to create guidelines for how to wash your chicken safely if you prefer to do so.
I didn't realize that that was not recommended to wash your chicken. Was there not much research behind that, or do you know why the FDA had that rule?
So currently, as far as we can find, and there's also a researcher, Dr. Harold McGee at Harvard, who talked to some food safety experts, the only actual science behind the recommendation not to wash chicken was done by just covering a chicken in red food dye and then running water off of it and seeing how far those red dyed drops splashed, which confirms that there is splashing from chicken, but not necessarily that the microbes are being transferred from the chicken surface. And so because a lot of people do prefer to wash chicken just for personal reasons, it's important to make sure that the recommendations are accurate, and that we know like exactly how far people would need to clean the area around their sink if they want to wash chicken.
Yeah, that's actually something I always wondered about myself. Not only with chicken, which maybe you have to worry about contaminating the area with microbes, but just how well does washing really work to remove things? I mean, even if you're just washing an apple, you know, if you splash it with water, does that remove anything that's actually on the surface, or does it stick tightly enough that, you know, you're not really having much effect? So how did your research extend that previous work? Did you actually look at whether microbes themselves were removed from the surface, or you were just measuring the properties of the splash? Or what specifically were you looking at in this process?
So we tried to do a little bit of both. We started out with just a proof of concept. So we put large agar plates next to the chicken and splashed water off. And we saw microbial growth in the splash pattern on the agar plates. And so for us, that confirmed that microbes are being transferred through the splash drops. And so from there, we went on to further characterize like how faucet height affects how much splashing there is, how their different flow types would affect that, different flow rates, so how high you turn your faucet on. And so we've done some work on how that affects splash distance and splash height, and now we're connecting that data, the splash distance and height and flow rate, and adding the chicken back in to see how that affects microbe transfer.
Is there any reason to think that that splashing would be different on chicken than, you know, something else you might be washing, like even just washing dishes in the sink or something like that? Is the splashing process any different for chicken because of the nature of the surface, perhaps, or for whatever reason?
I definitely think that's true, at least as far as what we've been looking at. We've done splashing off of cue balls or just off of a flat, hard surface to kind of get a feel for the ways that faucet parameters affect splashing. And as soon as we add the chicken back in, the data we get is definitely different. First of all, there is just less splashing because it's a softer material. But also, like a lot of times, they'll be a divot in the chicken surface, which will influence which direction it's splashing. So that can affect it as well.
So what is the basic finding, would you say, as far as, you know, recommendations you might have for washing? I mean, you come out in agreement, I guess, with the FDA recommendation to not wash at all, or did you find anything that would suggest there are safer ways to wash chicken without splashing too much and contaminating the surrounding area?
I would say in general, yes, the FDA recommendation is correct that you could be splashing microbes all over your kitchen. But if you're interested, if like you, it is something you'd prefer to do just for the flavor or because it's because you want to get the slime off or something like that, I think it's probably okay, just as long as you recognize that wherever you see splashing, there probably are microbes, and then you clean that up afterward. What we found is that faucet height, the farther away it is from the faucet, the more splashing you're going to get. And so within reason, keeping it closer, are higher up in your sink, and minimizing splashing that way can be helpful. Another idea is just like washing it in a bowl without running the faucet ever, which we haven't researched personally, but that also minimizes splashing.
So even if you had a deeper sink, wouldn't that help contain the splash more? So even though you're splashing from higher up, if you've got the chicken at the bottom of your sink, you know, that might be a counteracting effect, or you're basically looking at how much splash you have, changing only the faucet height and not looking at different depths of sink or...
Yeah, I would definitely agree that the depth of the sink can help with that. One way that we're trying to figure that out is when we're splashing from the surface of the chicken, we video all the splashing with a high-speed camera, and then we can go back and overlay the frames and see how high the splash could go and where that height was. And so from that, maybe, like you said, it is better to wash it at the bottom if you have a deeper sink. And so if we know that the maximum splash height is about 40 centimeters, and that you're not going to get that splash height until farther away than the edge of your sink, then it would be better. And so I think that's what we're working to explore more going forward.
So is this continuing research? Do you plan on going further with this and exploring more aspects of it?
Yes, we're planning to continue this summer. The first goal is just to add the chicken back in. A lot of like the things with the faucet height or splash distance, we've only done off of hard surfaces. And so seeing how many microbes are transferred and what type of microbes are transferred will be important. And we're also hoping to, first of all, identify which microbes are transferred, but also to quantify them after they've splashed, because it does take a certain amount of microbes to make you sick. So one cell of salmonella is not very likely at all to make you sick. You would probably need more. So quantifying at what distance not only there is growth, but also that there are enough microbes transferred to make you sick, I think will be an important part as well.
What were some of the biggest challenges in doing this research? Was some particular part of setting up the experiment difficult, or whatever, analyzing it, or what was most difficult for you?
Personally, what was most difficult for me was trying to get a flow rate that matched what you'd see in your kitchen sink. So part of doing the experiment with microbes is that we have to have sterilized water, which means we can't just connect it to the faucets in the lab. But the average kitchen sink has about 45 psi worth of pressure behind it. And so trying to get that amount of pressure in a closed system, just using, right now we're just using height, so like a gravitational force to get the pressure we need. And it's really challenging. We're not even close to 45 PSI. And so incorporating an aerator like you'd normally have on your sink that's meant for those high pressures and getting a similar flow rate has been probably the hardest thing so far.
So you're saying you had to use the purified water because of contamination from just tap water? If you were to use ordinary tap water, that has enough salmonella or other microbes in it, it would distort your experiments?
I think we can't be totally sure. We've never actually tested with just tap water. But yes, we wouldn't. Right now, we don't actually know which microbes are being transferred. But we want to make sure that the splashing we see is not just bacteria from your sink, but actually confirm that it is from chicken. And so not using the faucet is just one way to eliminate those variables.
Yeah, definitely that's a cleaner experiment, but I would hope that you wouldn't have to worry about the water source itself in your kitchen. Supposedly, Bozeman water is pretty clean. I haven't checked the latest results. They do put those online, so you can actually go to the city website and check about the water quality. So you're a mechanical engineering student. How did you get into this research topic?
So I started out just applying for the Center for Biofilm Engineering because I really liked the collaboration that was involved with a lot of the work they were doing. I saw a talk on the Center for Biofilm at the Freshman Research Symposium, my first semester at MSU. And so I started out by applying there. And then when I started talking to Jim, this was one of the projects that he was working on. And the student who worked on it before was graduating. And so it seemed like a really cool experiment to me.
This is Jim Wilking in chemical engineering.
Yes.
So he was your advisor for this project.
Yes.
And were you doing this yourself, or was there anyone else, you know, working with you, another student in the laboratory, or?
Yeah, there was another student who's been working on this project. Ben Grodner was actually working on it a year before me. And so he did a lot of the preliminary research as far as the proof of concept that microbes are transferred from chicken. And then Ben did most of the research on how faucet height and flow rate affect the splash transfer. And then Ben had just recently graduated last year from MSU with a degree in biological engineering. And right now he's at Cornell University studying for his PhD.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious about your background a little bit, like when you became interested in science, you know, when you decided to major in that at MSU, did you come in already knowing that, you know, science or engineering was what you wanted to do?
I think for the most part I did. I've always really loved like my math and physics classes and kind of the idea of the puzzle of like solving problems in physics or math. So for the most part, I did know I wanted to go into engineering. I wasn't sure, and I'm still not sure, if mechanical is exactly the type of engineering I'd want to do. But I think just like really enjoying my math and science and chemistry classes, I was pretty sure that I wanted to go into engineering here.
Mm-hmm. Is that something you'd like to carry on as a career teaching, or in you know, working with some company in the field, or what you know, your dream career, what might that involve? Have you thought about that at this point?
I've definitely been thinking about it, but I'm still not totally sure. My hope would be to find a way to combine engineering with communication. One thing that I've really missed with a lot of my math and science classes here is the communication and writing and kind of exploration of social ideas. So I've heard a lot of talks by different engineers about incorporating the social factors into the way they design and engineer things. And I think it's really cool to be able to combine those people skills and ideas of where we want to be with engineering. So one of the ones I've heard, for example, is transportation and incorporating different styles of transportation and a lot of interconnectivity to encourage people not to just drive everywhere. And so designing systems in a way that can encourage and influence social ideas, I think is really cool. And so I'd like to work less on specifically a lot of the math and science behind engineering and more in having an understanding and background in engineering to like influence social ideas and kind of work to combine that social aspect back in.
That's really cool. Since you mentioned transportation, you know, there's been a lot of talk and analysis and research around self-driving cars and, you know, what effect that will have on our transportation scenario. People even debate whether there will be more cars on the road or fewer cars on the road and how that's going to affect city planning and all kinds of social issues. Is that something that, you know, with your interest in transportation, is that something you've particularly thought about or looked into or read about?
That specific issue is not something that I've looked into very much. I think it's less about the issue of transportation and a little bit more about the idea behind it, that self-driving cars may be the most efficient solution, but it doesn't actually mean that it's the best solution for the most people. That was really what I took away from the talk I told you about earlier, is that just because it's the most efficient doesn't mean it's necessarily the best socially. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I'm interested in as far as like the idea of it, but not overly, I haven't looked overly into the topic.
So with that interest in the social side and communication of, you know, scientific or engineering findings, are there particular classes you've taken other than your science and engineering classes to help you think about that or prepare for that?
Last semester, I took anthropology and the idea of, like, different ways to think about cultures was really, I think that helped me a lot in having different perspectives on the best way to do things socially and the way to ask people questions in a way that's not leading and actually gets their responses and opinions. So I think that was really helpful as far as looking into social issues.
Okay, well, I don't know if some of my questions have been a little too leading, but is there anything that maybe you'd like to mention about the project or about you know, your study here at MSU that maybe I should have asked and didn't?
One thing that I thought was really cool about this experience was combining the things that I knew already with, like, just having to learn a lot of new things, especially about microbiology. And I think it's really part of the reason I joined the Center for Biofilm, like I said, was to get this to get the collaboration experience, but the opportunity to learn a lot more just about biology and realize how much I don't know about different topics that other people in the lab have been able to help me with was really cool and one of my favorite parts of this.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Katie. It's been really interesting to hear about this, and I appreciate your taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me, Steve.
Sure.